Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our pick of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway.
I'm Jack Harris, a sometimes producer on the show.
I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Mike Raymond, series producer.
And I'm Queenie Miller. I'm the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly what we need. So we're here in the glamorous basement of Hat Trick Productions HQ. Mm. They've obviously done what they do with the show, which is bring glamour and amazing set design.
If anything, they've gone over.
They have. It's over budget, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'll be able to hear the water pipes above us sporadically. Obviously, the most professional way to make a podcast.
Why are we doing that? We are unqualified.
In no way are we unqualified. The most qualified. But we're going to bring you this podcast weekly until the new TV series starts in October.
And what a week for the show not to be on.
I think, you know, everyone always has a very strong opinion about the politics of the show, the politics of the people who work on it, as we've seen from when people send us angry emails.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to establish from the top that we have a absolute contempt and disrespect for all politicians and political parties and institutions.
Across the board.
That's the great thing about the show. You know, Ian and Paul, like, they've seen Thatcher, Major, Blair, Brown, Cameron, and the current shower.
You sounded really confused.
No, it's great. It's good to be here with you all.
So how are we going to do it? Just like a TV show, in round one, we'll discuss the big topic of the moment that everyone's talking about. Then in round two, we'll each bring our favourite lesser-known story from the week that you may not have heard, but is very much worth knowing. And at the end, we'll vote on whose story we think would be best for the show.
It's going to get cutthroat.
So without further ado, let's get into round one. And let's be honest, the big story picks itself. This week has seen the dawn of a new era with a seismic shift in power as a crack new team takes pole position on the political stage. But enough about us starting a podcast.
Way.
Yes. There's also been a general election. What stories will we be talking about with Keir Starmer's first week in number 10?
My thoughts immediately go to like a game or a graphic that you could use to get the team into it. My title so far is Keeper Keir Head, but basically we see Keir Starmer's head and then we see inside it and then there's the various topics that he's going to be stressed about.
Nice, yeah. What's in his in-tray? Yeah.
Exactly.
It's an editing job for Dave, right?
And Dave being such an amazing graphics guy, how often we would send back his graphics.
Be like, that's not shit enough.
Make it worse. Yeah, it's quite an art form making it look like you don't care.
Yeah.
So what will be in the quiz?
A picture for NATO. I don't know how you represent that.
Yeah.
A picture for prisons.
Nice.
And the fact that...
So Tory MP.
Tory MP. I guess housing. Like, there's so much that must be on his mind, so I kind of would like to see a graphical representation of it.
I think the cabinet ministerial appointments would be something we'd cover.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that it was quite interesting that Mr. Timpson is prisons guy.
James Timpson is, of course, the owner of the Timpson's shops.
Get your key cut, get your shoes done.
The Timpson's one's funny, though, because he's an interesting guy, and, like, there's, like, quite serious clips about him and stuff, and him kind of talking about evidence-based reform. But the detail that I really liked is that if you work at Timpson's, you get a day off on your birthday.
Great.
Excellent perk.
You don't have to call in sick.
Yeah. And also, right, you can use the company limousine on your wedding day.
Do they have one limousine?
This is weird, isn't it, right? What is the limousine? Why does Timpson's have a limousine, for one thing? Like a company limousine
seems dodgy. So people can use it when they get married?
Yeah.
They're a great company. The other thing they do is if you're unemployed, they'll dry clean your suit for free for a job interview, which is great for a lot of Tory MPs. You can't just take in like a bag of pants. Unless you can justify why you'd be wearing it to a job interview.
Yeah. How do they know I'm not some going jobs for some kind of Magic Mike style audition?
Because they've taken one look at you.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, that was just mean.
Brutal but true.
And he employs, I think they say 10% of their workforce is former offenders.
Yeah.
Ex-offenders.
And obviously Rayner is First Minister to...
First Ginger?
Yes. Yeah. No, Dowden.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They actually just switched positions. True. Back-to-back Ginger Deputy. PM.
Yeah. Maybe just to clarify for listeners.
I am Ginger.
Jack is Ginger.
Hair of chestnut, flaming beard was what a child once told me.
Is that Ed Sheeran there?
Right? I used to be a teacher. No, I'm just randomly talking to children.
Oh, okay. It sounds like a sort of riddle or something from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, was the child like a ghost of a Victorian boy?
I taught in ancient Egypt. And it was one of the Sphinx. Very difficult, actually, characters. But big up.
Angela Rayner is the first housing minister that's lived in council housing, I think.
What was the most significant appointment to Starmer's government? And obviously the answer to that is Larry the Cat. Because Larry the Cat is the first cat, first Downing Street mouser, to have served under six prime ministers.
Whoa. I'm sick of Larry the Cat.
I love him.
Oh, it's so annoying.
I can't believe you're anti-Larry the Cat.
Oh, he's just... Everyone talks about Larry the Cat.
I'll carry on with my Larry the Cat facts. Previous holder, right, was Peter the Third, which I love they called a cat Peter already. Shows you whoever was in power at that time.
Oh, no, it happened to Peter the First and the Second.
Well, Second was run over
in
Whitehall. So that's why I replaced it. But
that's amazing.
He served under five prime ministers. So Larry the Cat. So technically, most important appointment, I reckon.
Do you think there'd be a question for the panel, seeing as James Timpson is now the prisons minister, which other non-politicians they'd like to see in the cabinet?
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That'd be a fair question for
them. One that everyone's thought about, I think. Martin Lewis, money-saving expert as chancellor. Yeah. That's what everyone goes
to. I think you
to.
Overstated that. Didn't say everyone.
That's what I think about day and night.
So I've written down housing, Dion Dublin.
Nice.
Yeah. I was going along with the high street shops theme, and I think if there is a Claire of Claire's Accessories, she should be in there as youth minister because she's got so many girls through, like having bright red ears while walking around a shopping centre. She can really do good things for the youth.
Instantly has a connection.
Right?
Yeah, so true. I quite like already that it's Telegraph headline saying, is James Timpson the most dangerous man in Britain? No, obviously not.
Telegraph just missing the point.
I don't know.
I mean,
he can literally unlock any door.
Yeah, he could genuinely let out all the criminals.
And he can come in your house at night. Well, it's like a thing to take eat your greens, or James Timpson will come in the house.
I think you in your bedroom.
Yeah, I think the Telegraph.
I take it back. You've convinced me. Like, I think he is the most dangerous man in Britain, and we should be looking out for him because no one's safe. He could be coming into this place right now, letting himself in. I don't trust with a limousine.
He only does it on his day off, on his birthday.
One of the things to bring up about this, the kind of new government, is that they're calling Starmer's goats. So it's a government of all the talents, which is quite funny. It's a very American style government, you know, greatest of all time style thing.
Thanks for clarifying that.
No, the reason I bring it up is because Richard Wilson, our exec, a man of many talents.
Legend.
Big fan.
I've been told to say looks like the guy from Up, which I do agree with, but I think that it's quite a mainstream reference. He looks like every old woman.
That's his WhatsApp picture. It's the guy from Up. So he's well aware and happy to own it. So outside his office for years and years, as almost as long as the show's been running, there's what's called the Wall of Richard Wilson. So it's anytime, as Queen said, like the guy from Up, Christine Lagarde.
Philip Schofield.
That was so proud of it.
And not Richard Wilson from One Foot in the Grave, which when I first came to interview for the show, I typed in, have I got news for you, Richard Wilson? And it came up with an episode of the guy from One Foot in the
and
Grave.
And you thought he was the exec producer?
I was like, this guy is multi-talented.
Wow.
He hates Americanisms. So I can just imagine him getting incredibly riled up at the idea of goats, you know. And I like to think, well, what other animals, the question you'd ask is, what other animals would you compare previous cabinets to? So it would be Liz Truss's cabinet of...
What's that fly that I need?
Mayfly.
Truss's cabinet of mayflies.
Yeah.
Something that got brought up, something else that kind of we would cover in round one as a story. So we've sort of talked a little bit about Keir Starmer's cabinet and all that sort of stuff. Is the now new opposition. So we're talking about the Tories taking up opposition, who, you know, very quickly at the weekend were quick to say, look, we're going to have an infighting. Can't start pointing fingers. Literally 2 days later, Kemi Badenoch absolutely bawling out Rishi Sunak, calling his cabinet, or Craig Williams, is that the name of the guy?
Yeah.
Calling him a moron, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines.
Fairly justified.
Yeah.
About the betting scandal. First time I've ever agreed with Kevin.
Yeah. But she literally just listed off all of this stuff about how it was an absolute disaster, unconstitutional to call an early election. I think she just said Rishi Sunak has got a weird face or something like that. Something equally as terrible as that, right? Kept on putting in all these things. It was put out in the Times, all of this. And at the end, she said, none of our conversations should be leaked. And obviously, she's leaked it herself. I think it's amazing.
An anonymous source.
Yeah. Also said Braverman had had a very public nervous breakdown, which is amazing. It's like leadership contender.
This is why I'm sad the Tories are going to be less in the limelight. This is so amazing to talk about and to see.
It is fun.
Well, it's still there. It's like an amuse-bouche, isn't it?
Yeah.
Until Labour, they're relatively squeaky clean. No one really knows who they are.
Mm.
What's great is it doesn't matter what political side you're on. There's going to be some wrong-uns in there. They're going to make mistakes. There's the hypocrisy.
They'll eat themselves over something. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting to see.
That does make me feel better.
So we've covered Labour and the Tories, but obviously there's a few new faces in Parliament as well. Biggest names, obviously. The Reform lads, exciting.
The Reform Five, really?
Is that how they call themselves that?
That's how I've seen them referred to, yeah.
You see what they said when they were coming to Parliament?
Yeah.
They wanted to come in like a scene from Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah, right.
Who lets these people talk?
But also amazing, I love it because, what they've got in mind is looking really cool with sunglasses. Reservoir Dogs, everyone dies in that. Everyone backstabs each other.
Yeah.
One guy just fucks off at the end with all the money, right? And someone gets their ear cut off.
Yeah.
Need to watch this really closely and see if that happens.
Dogs?
I'm
aware the film does, but if that happens before.
That was the thing I thought, man. When he said we want it, it's going to be like the scene from Reservoir Dogs. I thought he meant because as soon as Farage opens his mouth, everyone just wants to cut off their own ears, so they don't have to listen to it.
And obviously, there was a bit of controversy around AI candidates. Initially, people saying that it wasn't true, or there were candidates standing that weren't real people.
I never believed that because it's artificial intelligence.
You just got to make him point out a traffic light and then we'll know if he's AI. Also, we should mention for balance, because everyone loves balance, we should mention the Greens.
Oh, yeah.
Time for round two.
So welcome back from the ad break. Proof there that like our Instagram and Twitter accounts, the BBC is not in any way associated with this podcast because they wouldn't let us advertise, I'm assuming Timpsons probably, was the advert that we just heard.
Yeah. Oh, imagine if the second episode we film it in the Timpsons limo.
I don't want to go in that limo. I think it's going to be absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Wedding night limo?
Hang on, who said it was a wedding? It's to take them to the wedding.
I'm assuming it's giving you travel for the whole day. Anyway, we're getting distracted.
That's not how weddings work.
Yeah. You don't get married in the car. The whole wedding doesn't take place in the limousine.
And you definitely don't spend your wedding night in the car.
Well, that's where I've been going wrong.
Unless you're Lembit Opik.
That's why I've been divorced 7 times. It's now time for us to go head to head, putting forward our favourite stories in the news this week in what we would normally do with round two. And in the end, we're going to vote on the story that would be best to go into the show. So we don't know what each other has brought. So I'm going to ask Emerald, do you want to go first and tell us what story you would put forward for round two?
Sure. So my story, it's slightly old news, but it's been made more relevant by a Keir Starmer story. So basically, Keir and his family should soon be receiving an invite from King Charles to spend a few days with the royals at Balmoral.
Okay.
Oh my God, I can't even say it. I should have practiced this.
Balmoral. That is how you have to pronounce it when you announce it.
Balmoral. Basically, all the prime ministers get invited there.
Right.
But it reminded me of this story from just a bit earlier in the summer. King Charles has opened up Balmoral Castle for public tours for the first time.
Uh-huh.
He said that he wants to make royal properties more accessible to the public, and so he's charging £100 to £150.
Oh, classic Charlie.
Exactly, right? He's going to rake in around £140,000.
He needs
just
one.
Just him. Yeah. Just him. Yeah.
So that Andrew lawsuit isn't going to pay for it.
But on the back of this, basically, I was reading up on what the tour involves, and it all sounds a bit macabre.
Right.
So I have a little game for you, which maybe we could play on the show.
Yeah,
if
great.
We were doing the show.
This is great.
You need to guess, is this a fact about the Balmoral tour,
mm-hmm.
or is it a fact about the Creepy Hollow haunted house experience in Texas?
Okay. I'm in love with this game.
So the first fact is it's nicknamed the Barn of a Thousand Drafts. Is that Balmoral or is that the Creepy Hollow haunted house experience in Texas?
A thousand drafts. I think that's going to be something really lame about some kind of bill that a royal wrote.
I think it's something kind of quippy someone royal would
or
think.
Or someone like, oh, it's windy.
Yeah. The queen going around with a thousand snake draft excluders.
Balmoral.
Golden.
You're right. It's Balmoral. It's Edward VII called it that. Apparently, it's very drafty.
Hey, Connor, hold on just 2 seconds. Hey, terrible. What? Because it's drafty. It's a thousand drafts.
A thousand drafts. I guess it's got a lot of
get
brooms.
Off your high horse.
It's very dramatic.
Edward VII.
Yeah, get off your high horse, Edward.
Okay, which place does this apply to? It's open to all ages.
I really hope it's the Texas.
It's got to be Texas.
It's Texas, yes. The article I read described the Balmoral tour as an adult-only experience.
Wow, kinky.
So many jokes I can make right now that couldn't be cleared by legal.
Okay, next fact. Which place does this apply to? Where can you discover signs of 19th century lovers?
I'm going to say both.
I want it just to be the Texas thing, because that's not what that's for.
Is it where every royal has been conceived?
Ooh.
The room where they have like a conceiving room.
Yeah. Well, the article I read did say that you could discover signs of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert's love story. So that is maybe why it is adult an adult-only experience.
Yeah.
What's the sign? It's like a handprint, like a Titanic. Yeah.
This is why, do they give you a black light? Do they send you to the room? I don't know.
I'd maybe actually go on the tour now.
I'm selling it to you.
Yeah, the Prince Albert room, obviously.
That's something else.
There's some niche equipment in there. But
Yeah.
Okay, in which place can you not wear flip-flops or sandals?
Oh, definitely Balmoral, I reckon.
That's just Scotland in general.
No, it's the Creepy Hollow haunt in Texas.
What?
Yeah.
Formal wear?
Yeah, I think they need you to be able to run away from the actors there.
Okay, that's fair.
But you can wear them into Balmoral.
Because if they catch you, they can do whatever they want.
Okay, I wasn't going to say,
but like a weird...
they did say they have a touching policy there, and you have to pay extra to not be touched in the Creepy Hollow haunted.
You have to pay to not be touched.
I mean, that's the question you should have asked. Which place has a policy to not be touched?
And again, we're going to go to where that would be.
I mean, that's gold.
Which place has a statue of a dead man on a plinth that can be rotated so his gaze follows you around the room?
Definitely both.
It might well be both, but it's definitely Balmoral. So there's a there's a statue of Prince Albert, and Queen Victoria had to have it rotated as she went to bed so that he could follow her.
Well, they just
had
one person who's rotating it.
I think so. I think they had
Bit of them follows you around the room?
The eyes.
But, actually, they're just controlling the eyes. They're in the statue.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Royal Story there.
Yeah.
But Mike, what have you bought for us this week?
I've gone slightly different. It's a much smaller story, but quite a silly one. Obviously, it's the Edinburgh Festival coming up and everyone's getting ready for that. It's become very expensive for comedians to go up there. And one hotel in Scotland is offering one comedian the chance of free accommodation and free breakfasts in exchange for being what they call a breakfast jester, which is where you, as a comedian, you have to go around the breakfast room, I think it's twice a week, and banter the guests.
Oh,
so I've looked at the advert. And as part of it,
this sort of detail would come up as quotes and stuff in the show.
Absolutely,
kind of drill right down into.
And you just start doing a bit of a reveal. Are you a laugh a minute lady, a witty wise guy, a rib tickling rebel? We're seeking a breakfast jester to put guests in stitches breakfast throughout the Edinburgh Fringe.
Genuinely hell. That's hell for everyone involved.
Yeah. Jack, I think we've got a job for you.
No, that is honestly for the American tourists who will not have a fucking clue what's going on as this person goes round and tries to do jokes about breakfast. And then for the comic themselves, at least let them get to their show in Edinburgh before they die on their ass.
Well, you know what I mean? This is what attracted me to the story, because I always love when there's a double layer to it.
Yeah.
And there's the reveal that the hotel itself isn't even in Edinburgh.
Oh, my God. No way. Shut up.
It's in Glasgow, 40 miles away.
That's it.
No.
So
That is mental.
So if you're, and they're just fine by because you get free accommodation, free access to the breakfast buffet.
Oh, that's nice. So you can come up with your jokes and see, oh, they've got hash browns in.
Oh, hash brown bit's going to work. Yeah, exactly. I say to someone who's half Scottish, born in Scotland, has a lot of Scottish family, an English comedian to a hotel in Glasgow to tell jokes while they're trying to eat their square sausage. Basically a death sentence. But yeah, they've said as part of the application, you have to provide a breakfast joke. Obviously, it's going to be hard to do that when an angry Glaswegian man is strangling the life out of you over some scrambled eggs.
That is fun. That would be funny, though. Every single breakfast, I saw a kind of Homer Simpson Bart style strangulation.
Yeah.
As long as the guy's fine. If I was in Edinburgh, I'd sort of think it's a show. In Glasgow, no one's got an idea what's going on.
Does anyone have any egg jokes or other breakfast items?
Why don't French people overeat at breakfast? Because one egg is always enough.
Very good.
So should we go to the next next story? Yeah. Queenie, what story have you gone with?
My story that I chose was about Truss's biography, which has come back into the news cycle because it was in the charts for a few weeks, but dropped out a week after, while Caroline Lucas's book, Another England, which was published at the same time, lingered in the top 10 for 3 weeks. The Times then wrote, poor Truss, first beaten by a lettuce, then by the Greens. When I was doing some research for this, I did go immediately to the Amazon reviews for 10 Years to Save the West.
Yeah.
There are some good ones. The feeling would be you go straight for the one star because they're going to be quite damning and funny. 3 stars. Well, it's people who haven't made up their mind.
Yeah, nice.
How can you not have made up your mind about Truss? Yeah.
Sit on a fence. That's nice.
1 3-star I really liked from Susan. She makes some good points, full stop. In brackets, I read half of it.
Interesting.
From Ashley, 1 star. This book is breathtakingly delusional. Liz holds fast to a wrecking ball approach even Miley Cyrus would be wary of.
See, you can mention Miley Cyrus and Ian Paul would have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah,
so instantly that gets the pop culture thing of we can't include a Miley Cyrus.
I thought Paul would explain it to Ian.
Yeah.
Have you read the book?
It is time I will never get back. But yes, I have.
Have you?
Wow. Yeah.
10 Years
I
Save
bought
West.
It. I also read Starmer's biography.
Wow.
It was mostly him.
These are both for work purposes, right?
Yes, not for pleasure. Okay, I got zero pleasure from that.
Well, the Starmer one, definitely for work purposes.
Yeah.
Trust me, just happens to overlap with your reading, you know, what was in your reading list.
I feel like I should have reviewed it. I think I'd have some, I don't know, anyway. People who take time to write this down.
Your review wouldn't be allowed on Amazon.
No.
Thanks for that, Queenie. If you could stop talking about Truss now. You're Truss lover.
Just for 1 second.
But finally, my story was, I think it's a technology story, technically. The New York mayor unveiled their very special way of how they're going to look after rubbish, which is with wheelie bins. So he unveiled the wheelie bin. This was literally this week, to the sounds of Jay-Z's Empire State of Mind.
Which
he does all the time. He does it at his press conference, which I kind of rate. I like that. It's like Sadiq Khan having London Calling every single time he comes on stage. And he brought out his wheelie bin, stuck a bag in it and said, welcome to the trash revolution, which is very fun. Excellent, excellent video to play in. And I sort of think, is he doing it sort of tongue-in-cheek? And he's quite serious about it.
I've seen it, and it's like Elon Musk launching like one of his cars. Elon Musk meets Tony Stark, like, I'm a genius. Guys, we've revolutionised this. We've finally done it. You don't have to drop your rubbish bags on the street anymore. We have this thing called a wheelie bin. He doesn't call it a wheelie bin. He calls it something like...
So it's what I love about it. And this is kind of, I think, why it might be a good round two story. That's because he can drill down into a few more details. So the reason he's talking about it is because he hates rats. And he is basically taking it upon himself to be like, I'm the mayor of New York. The big thing I've got to solve, rats. So he's born
all of the things.
Seriously. He's born a rat czar. So former school teacher, big up. Is,
I was going to say it's you. Yeah, you're the rat czar.
Because rat czar. I used to be a teacher. Otherwise, I've just got an appreciation for teachers. And then also you've got in September in New York, the first ever National Urban Rats Summit, which...
The rats get the to rats. Speak.
Is it for rats? And in the copy for the event, it says, bring together rat experts to advance the science of urban rat management, which I'm assuming is just more traps, right? That's the...
Hey, no. He's got this... they've invented this new thing in New York. yeah. to deal with the rats.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for whatever this joke is.
It's a broomstick.
But the little detail I quite liked about it as well, and sort of feels very Have I Got News For You, is the fact that the way they came up with this solution is they asked McKinsey, who were like a consultancy firm, and they paid them $4 million
no.
to come up with a solution for the rats. And their $4 million basically was, get some bins, right? Because New York just don't have bins, which kind of blew my mind anyway. Mm. But my favourite thing about the McKinsey report they brought out, it's like 90 pages, it's so long, is that they call it containerization.
Wow.
Which is so American and so consultancy based that I can kind of see that being a quote that we'd bring up.
That works for me. Suddenly I'm on board.
Yeah.
Containerization.
It sounds cool.
Newfangled.
When he was trying to sell them basically at this press conference, he said they're affordable, they're durable, and obviously most importantly, attractive.
Do you know what? I'm invested because I'm hoping, you know, if they can solve this problem, we bring it over here. Don't need Larry the Cat anymore.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay, I take it back. Circle. Wipe it from your mind. We need Larry the Cat to go to the 7th Prime Minister. So ideally, after 100 days, Keir Starmer's going to go and Angela Rayner's going
to
come in.
When they up the taxes, he goes to shit and they get voted out and Nigel Farage comes in.
All right, so we've heard them all. Round two story. So which news item was everyone's favourite?
Straight away, I reckon mine would be covered in round one.
Mine
probably. Was just a shameless attempt to talk more about some stupid Tory stuff.
I was won over by the bins.
Me too, yeah.
I'm very intrigued by the bins.
And I think if I'm honest, Edinburgh, I personally feel Edinburgh you could stick into Missing Words or it could be in an odd one out.
True.
Whereas I think Royals, for me, it's got everything you want from around two.
I was also won over by the game.
I guess I win.
Okay, yeah. you get the points.
Yeah.
There you go.
Our
completely nonsensical point scoring, which we won't get into now because it's way too complicated.
Yeah. Much but, like the show.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to this very special first episode of In The News This Week.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. I'm not calling it X.
Yeah.
You can also get in touch with us there using the hashtag HigginaFeePod or emailing podcast@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
And if you've got any burning questions about the TV show and how it's made or behind the scenes, then we'd love to hear from you. So get in touch.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. And we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye.
Bye bye.
You can all say bye now, that's it.
Your bye was so weird.
I liked it. I think we should all do that at the same time.
It's like the Balmoral of byes.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.